Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and live from Colin Kaepernick's Open Workout, it's the Fourth and Inches Show with Jana and the Sherpa. Jana, how are you doing? It was a tough weekend for both the your Cowboys and my Giants last week.
It was. I had made peace with it early on, so I knew it was going to happen, and I was okay with that. I mean, it's just...
I guess I was wrong on both those games, so
They don't play... They only play two quarters at best of four of football. It's hard to beat teams that way. But maybe we'll bounce back this week. Can only hope. I think your Giants will fare a little better because they're on a bye week. So things are looking up for you this week.
Well, they can't get any ground on the first draft pick on the Bengals. So that's
one downside. I'm sorry about that.
But the Bengals are probably going to take a quarterback with that first pick, presumably. That's where they end up. So that'll leave the Giants for their choice, I guess, of an offensive lineman, a wide receiver, the defensive lineman at Ohio State that just got reinstated from his suspension. So there's lots of reason for optimism in 2023 for Giants fans.
This is true. You've got a few years. The rebuild is on. But
Actually, we are optimistic that
we have a pretty jam-packed show for you tonight. So I'm excited about that. How are you feeling about this week?
I'm pretty good. I was just going to finish the thought. A friend was texting me about the Giants last week and was wondering if they were already going to pull the plug on the Shermer-Gettleman era. And I said my guess would be that they get one more year. I mean, if the Jets have already come out and said Adam Gase gets another year, then I would imagine that, that they'll give Gettleman and Shermer another year unless Gettleman wants to make Shermer the scapegoat for this year, which wouldn't be right.
No, I don't think it's his fault at all. The fact that Adam Gase gets to keep his job regardless of what happens is kind of crazy to me, though. It hasn't gone well there.
No. Anyway, why don't we get on with the show and we can discuss bad teams at greater length and get to our game pick.
Yes, we've got a jam-packed show for you tonight. We're going to be breaking down everything week 11 in the NFL, who to start, who to sit, our game picks, waiver wire pickups, the always fun injury report, daily fantasy picks, and so much more. So stick around for us. We'll be here for a full hour as we are with you every Wednesday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. If you can't get enough of us, and really who can, you can find us all week long all over social media. We're on Facebook at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page. You can find us on Twitter at the number 4THN Inches Show, at Fantasy _ Sherpa, and at JKIM16. I think you can figure out who's who there. And like I said, we've got a whole hour for you tonight. We do have a couple of teams on byes. It's not quite as bad as last week, but you are down four teams and some pretty good players this week. Green Bay, the Giants, Seattle, and Tennessee are all on byes this week, which is good because Tyler Lockett needs some time to recover in the hospital from that nasty leg injury he suffered on Monday night. But we'll touch on that in just a minute in the injury report. So, like I said, we'll talk injuries and then we'll give you waiver wires because there are a lot of big names that are going to be missing time this week. A few coming back, but we'll take care of you. Don't worry. Like I mentioned, Tyler Lockett did end up in the hospital after Monday night's game. He spent most of the second half on the sideline without a helmet. They called him questionable to come back and then sent him to an emergency room, worried he might have compartment syndrome. Turns out to just be a deep bruise on his leg. So they're calling it a serious injury, but not giving really much of a timetable. So keep an eye on that. If he's
day
on your
day.
Team, you may want to start. Yeah, we're all day to day, just like Tyler Lockett. You may want to start thinking about some options for a plan B for next week, but he's got a week to get healthy and hopefully that will help. In Pittsburgh this week, good news out of their practices, running back James Conner has been back and fully practicing. He looks healthy. He's going to start this week after missing the last 2 weeks. Running back Benny Snell Jr., unfortunately, is not practicing. He's going to be out this week with a knee injury, as well as wide receiver Ryan Switzer, who also does a lot of their returns. On the flip side of that game in Cleveland, tight end Ricky Seals-Jones is questionable with a knee injury. They're saying it's going to be a game-time decision, so I would certainly have a backup plan there. It is slim pickings in the tight end world. There are a lot of injuries, and he's just one of them. Other faces coming back this week, Nick Foles. Nick Foleyan Dynamite is going to be back under center for the Jaguars after missing the last several weeks with a broken collarbone. Unfortunately, that doesn't mean Gardner Minshew and his 80s headband and mustache will be on the bench. In Indianapolis, Jacoby Brissett is dealing with that knee injury still. He is likely starting for the Colts, barring any kind of setback this week. He looks like he's going to be good to go. In Atlanta, less good news for them, although they did pick up a win this week. Running back Devontae Freeman is out for this week with a foot sprain. He's likely going to miss a few weeks. Also, it looks like tight end Austin Hooper is going to miss as much as a month. Depending on who you ask, he possibly has an MCL sprain. Dan Quinn says that's not true, so really depends who you're asking, but it looks like he is not going to be playing this week and likely for the foreseeable future with that knee injury. In Houston, wide receiver Will Fuller is questionable. It looks like he is going to play this week, coming back from missing the last few games with that hamstring injury. And in Baltimore, wide receiver Marquise Brown has been limited at practice with an ankle injury. He's questionable. It looks like he's going to play, barring any kind of setback this week. In Dallas, wide receiver Amari Cooper is dealing with both ankle and knee injuries and has been seeing specialists. He did not practice today, but they're saying he is definitely playing this week. How effective he'll be, we'll find out, but he's going to be on the field. Their defense is also pretty battered. They managed to get a couple of guys on the field last week, which is good. Hopefully going to do that again this week, and hopefully they'll be a little more effective, but we'll see. In Detroit, quarterback Matt Stafford missed his first game since 2011 last week with that back injury. The severity seems to be anybody's guess. It really, again, much like Austin Hooper, depends who you're asking. He could be missing no time or several weeks in the rest of the season, and potentially his career is in jeopardy. So it really runs the gamut. He is likely not playing this week. They haven't officially ruled him out, but it looks like the Jeff Driskel era will roll on. Also, starting running back Ty Johnson is in the concussion protocol. He's not practicing. He's pretty questionable, so keep an eye on that as the week goes on. In New Orleans, their offense is pretty healthy, much healthier than it has been the last few weeks. But their defense is certainly hurting. I'd keep an eye on that. The Buccaneers also missing several defensive players at practice today, so it looks like that may be a very offensive-heavy game this week. I'm sure when we talk about our game predictions later, our scores are probably going to reflect that. In Atlanta, quarterback Matt Ryan also did not practice. He's dealing with that ankle injury that cost him a game, but he did play last week. He's going to play again this week unless something serious happens between now and then, so they're pretty hopeful there. In Carolina, running back Christian McCaffrey did not practice. He's been taking Wednesdays off the last few weeks. They were calling it a knee injury before. Now they're calling it a foot injury. And they did come out and say it's mainly just a rest day. So it's nothing serious there. Don't be alarmed. In Jacksonville, wide receiver Dede Westbrook's been dealing with a shoulder injury. He's been on the injury report the last few weeks, but he fully practiced today and looked good. So he's getting healthy at the right time. He and Nick Foles had really good chemistry before his collarbone snapped in half. In Indianapolis, Jacoby Brissett may be coming back to the field. I'm not entirely sure who he's going to throw to, though. Wide receiver Paris Campbell didn't practice with that hand injury, and T.Y. Hilton's also not practicing with that calf injury, as well as tight end Jack Doyle not practicing today with a shoulder injury. They're all questionable to varying degrees, and it's going to certainly come down to game time for some of those. Also worth noting, wide receiver Devin Funches in Indianapolis is eligible to be activated off the IR here in the coming weeks after breaking his clavicle week one. It was a bad time to be a collarbone that week. He is limited at practice. It was his first practice back today, so he's hoping to be on the mend soon. And their wide receivers are the walking wounded, so I think everyone's hoping he gets out there fast. In Denver, running back Philip Lindsay is on the injury report with a wrist injury, but he was a full participant at practice and looks like he'll be fine for this weekend. Tight end Jeff Heuerman was limited with a knee injury, but otherwise they seem pretty healthy. The matchup, a little tough for them. On the other side of the ball, from Minnesota, wide receiver Adam Thielen still not practicing after his hamstring injury caused him to miss last week's game as well. They're being cautious with him. They don't want to rush him back and have it re-aggravated like they did last time. Doubtful he plays this week. Have a plan B there for sure. And they have several concussions and injuries going around their defense. So that Minnesota defense may not be quite as dominant as usual. So keep an eye on that as well. In New York, the Jets running back Le'Veon Bell did not practice. Not only does he have the knee injury that was Kind of slowing him down a little bit last week. He's picked up a rib injury, and he's also under the weather. He's just plain old sick. So he's having a tough week. They're planning on him playing this week, so hopefully he's getting a lot of rest. Wide receiver Robbie Anderson and Demaryius Thomas both were limited to practice. Everybody seems to have multiple injuries on the Jets. Anderson's dealing with back and shoulder injuries. Thomas is dealing with knee and hamstring injuries. So one just isn't enough in New York. You have to be an overachiever. In Washington, they announced this week that Dwayne Haskins will start the rest of the year. I'm not even sure why that was news or we had to have a press conference about it, but this is what the Redskins do. Also, they are unsure when running back Chris Thompson is going to play. He's still dealing with turf toe. He's missed the last few weeks. They're calling him questionable. I'd be surprised if he played this week. He's more doubtful than anything. So no real timetable there. Geist baby's back. He's back and a good start this week. Tight end Vernon Davis is still in the concussion protocol, but he was at practice and limited, which is a good sign. It looks like he probably will be on the field this weekend. In Miami, old quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick, that beard, he is still being listed on the injury report with a shoulder injury. He's fully practicing, though. I guess a couple of wins will cure a lot of aches and pains. Yeah. I would be really impressed if they put him on the injury report because he had a beard issue. That would be phenomenal. I mean, if we can let Tom Brady be on the injury report for 4 years with a shoulder injury and he played every game, I think we could let a beard be on the injury report. But I digress. San Francisco wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders left that wild Monday night game with a rib injury. They're calling him day-to-day. He's hoping to play this week. Seems pretty optimistic there. Less optimistic for running back Matt Breida. He re-aggravated that ankle injury. He's seeing another doctor for a second opinion. That's usually not a good sign. And tight end George Kittle, who also did not play, is not practicing. He's dealing with a knee injury. He's questionable coming into the week. That's going to go probably right up until game time. In New England, they're coming off their bye weeks. They're fairly healthy, but tight end Matt Lacoste was limited at practice today with a knee injury. Seems like he should be fine for this weekend. On the other side of the ball in that game in Philadelphia, wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey did not practice an ankle injury. He's planning on playing this week unless something flares up, which hopefully it does not. They certainly are going to need him. And running back Jordan Howard is dealing with a shoulder injury. He was limited to practice. In Cincinnati, it seems just about nobody went to practice today. Wide receiver A.J. Green's not practicing with that ankle injury. Wide receiver John Ross, however, is back at practice. He's eligible to come off IR in week 13, so maybe worth a stash, although he is still on the worst team in the league. Other players not practicing in Cincinnati today. Tyler Eifert, he is just resting, just didn't want to practice. Wide receiver Alex Erickson's dealing with a back injury, and tight end Drew Sample is dealing with an ankle injury. They both missed practice as well. For the Raiders, running back Josh Jacobs is dealing with a shoulder injury, which he's had for several weeks. He was limited practice. They tend to try to rest him a little bit on Wednesdays. He's still going to play this weekend. And in Chicago, running back David Montgomery, who had a nice little showing here the last 2 weeks, was limited with an ankle injury. It's the first time all year he's been on the injury report, so hopefully it's nothing serious. And tight end Trey Burton is not practicing with a calf injury. He's questionable, but hopeful to play this week as well. We can all breathe again, or just me, because
nice
everybody
job.
Else has been doing everything else in the world.
Nice job. You're going to be on the injury report with lack of breath.
I might actually be already on the injury report. We all made it through. Let's find some guys to replace
pulmonary
all
issues
of these injured human
back.
Beings. Yeah, I'm already a mess. But I'm not on IR yet, so we're okay.
Well, good thing, because at this point you wouldn't be eligible to return anymore this season.
I know. It's too late in the season. You're stuck with me now. Just
That's
taking
right.
up a roster spot.
All right. Well, for those of you who are trying to fill roster spots, hopefully I get rid of this frog in my throat and stop sounding like Harry Belafonte. But for those of you
who
are...
You do whatever you need
to
do to get through the show. We support you.
You do. That's right. I remember doing the show outside 1 year when it was 30 degrees because that's the only place I could get reception where I was
that
night.
Tough.
But we
that
did
was
the
tough.
Show.
You were downtown in New York. It was not a good time.
Yeah.
You that sounded was, cold. I remember that.
That was, and I remember you doing a show from a restaurant once. We have some good stories
to
tell
a couple
after
of
10
times.
Years.
We've been in a lot of restaurant kitchens doing radio shows.
All right. So this week, I think we're both in relatively comfortable settings. So we'll commence with the waiver
Yes.
wire report then. So as far as running backs, a little bit more than in previous weeks. Darius Geis, Washington is
He's
out there in
back.
a lot of leagues still and back. Brian Hill, obviously the big name on a lot of lists this week after his showing against New Orleans this week. I don't like the matchup
Who would have
against
thought he'd be the leading rusher after last week? Who would have thought?
on a team that would, yeah, be upset New Orleans
Had
on the
no
road.
business
But
winning.
yeah,
Yeah.
I
Maybe
had him
Devontae
as a
Freeman
rookie
was what was
in a
dragging him
dynasty
down this
league
whole
and let him
time.
go. Yeah, that
Oh,
must be
jeez.
it. So I feel like that might have been his one shining moment, but we'll see. I know a lot of people are spending on him
Peyton Hillis.
this week in free agency as though he's a sure thing for the rest of the season, but it also might just be supply and demand that there's
Also
relatively few
still
options
on the
out there.
Falcons. Yeah. What are you
Yeah.
gonna do?
So Brian Hill is out there. Frank Gore, recently demoted, is out there. Kalen Ballage is out there. And Nyheim Hines with Indianapolis. Terrible week for Indianapolis against the Miami's last week. But Hines himself had a pretty good
Yeah.
game. So those are sort of the five that if I really had to run to the waiver wire for running back this week, those are the guys I'd be looking at. Any names you care to throw on the fire there?
I'm very excited about Darius Geis. Definitely at the top of my list as he's out there. Wayne Gallman, I think, is interesting to stash. Saquon Barkley certainly got beat up the other day, but hopefully a bye week gets him a little healthier. But when there's Slim Pickens out there, he's certainly interesting. And Nyheim Hines is very high on my list. I liked what I saw out of him at, like you said, an ugly game for Indianapolis. That was really the bright spot.
Hey, moving on to wide receivers. As in most weeks, there are a lot more options in the wide receiver pool. Debo Samuel's had a few nice games for San Francisco. He's out there in a lot of leagues. Zach Pascal gets Jacoby Brissett back this week. Cole Beasley's been having a nice run recently in Buffalo. Philip Dorsett, is back with the Patriots and should be, in my mind, a shootout with the Eagles this week. Deontay Johnson starting to get more play in Pittsburgh. Hunter Renfrow starting to show some flashes of ability there in Oakland. Randall Cobb having a quietly nice season, at least yardage-wise, is a
Yeah.
second or third option in Dallas. James Washington, another of the Pittsburgh secondary receivers. And then if you want to stash somebody who's on a bye this week, Darius Slayton had a really nice game against the Jets for an otherwise
Actually, I
pathetic
actually
effort.
started him last week and it paid off for me, that's for sure.
Yeah, I tried to pick him up in one
Worked out
league,
well.
but for some reason in that league you can't pick up players if they've been cut that week. So I was reduced
That's
to
annoying.
trying to pick up the other Giants receivers that didn't fare so well
Hadn't been
last week.
cut.
But Darius, yeah, the Courtland Suttons and the,
Yeah.
the likes. Of them, this past week that didn't work out so well, but Darius Slayton definitely would have been on my team last week. But nice going for having the foresight to pick him up. But any other wide receivers you want to add to the list?
No, I'm with you on Randall Cobb, especially with not knowing exactly how healthy Amari Cooper's really gonna be. Hunter Renfrow and Cole Beasley definitely on my list. And D.D. Westbrook, if he's out there, and he seems to be in at least half the leagues that I'm in, but he and Nick Foles had some really good chemistry. He's getting healthier, Nick Foles is back. I think there could certainly be something there.
All right, speaking of quarterbacks and Nick Foles, if you're down a quarterback or if you're missing Aaron Rodgers or Ryan Wilson, you're probably not missing Ryan Tannehill or Daniel Jones, but if you are, my condolences. But some waiver wire options to consider this week at quarterback, Kyle Allen with Carolina, Sam Darnold with the Jets, Mason Rudolph with Pittsburgh in a Thursday night game with Cleveland, Jacoby Brissett with Indianapolis. Nick Foles is, you've heard several times already on this show, back this week with Jacksonville. And then if you're really, really desperate and don't mind throwing your money away, Trubisky's out there in a lot of leagues.
Don't mind throwing your money away. Well, I mean, if that's not an endorsement, I don't know what is.
Yeah, that's not exactly a ringing endorsement. I don't know what
not
the opposite
so much,
of a ringing
no.
endorsement. Yeah, yeah, that's a pretty weak endorsement, pretty tough of lukewarm.
Oh, God.
Teeth-clenching endorsement.
Should we just go to tight ends? Like, I don't know how I top that.
Do you have anything you want to add to the quarterback situation? Or
no? No, I mean, it's kind of a sad state of affairs, in all honesty. Like, it's hard to get excited about, like, a Jeff Driscoll, who is serviceable if you just, you know, are really out of luck. But, I mean,
it's probably going to be your Thanksgiving Day starter for the Lions.
I think he's going to be.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what Matthew Stafford's chiropractor has to say about that.
Yeah.
Well,
he needs
anyway,
a back guy.
On.
I got one.
Yes, you would know all too well.
Yeah.
Moving on to tight ends, as you had suggested a moment ago, O.J. Howard's starting to show signs of life in Tampa Bay. Kyle Rudolph
yeah.
of Minnesota. Your friend Mike Gesicki with Miami, Noah Font with Denver, Tyler Eifert with Cincinnati, Dallas Goedert with Philadelphia, and Jacob Hollister with Seattle. And do you want a bit of tight end trivia?
Yes.
Name the school that I think has more tight ends in the on NFL rosters than any other right now. And I haven't done the research to verify this, but I'm pretty sure it's correct.
Oof.
I'll give you a hint. It's not Iowa, even though they had two
first
round picks this past season.
Not Iowa, huh?
I don't think so. No.
Well, I want to say Penn State, but I don't think that's it.
No, I think it's actually Harvard, if you can believe it.
Really?
Ben Broniker, Anthony Firkser, Cameron Brate, and then I'm cheating a little bit, but I think you could count Kyle Jessick as a tight end, even though he came into the league as a hybrid H-back, fullback, whatever. But
hey,
you know,
anybody can be a hybrid these days.
You can. They get better mileage, too. But, you know, you don't
they
really
do.
Think of Harvard
they
as
do.
Being a football factory. But and I think they have another
I mean,
tight
they call
end
Penn State linebacker you. Maybe Harvard just tight end you. People just don't know. We need to make them aware.
Well, a lot of people
we
from Harvard have been accused of having tight ends. But anyway, why don't we? Did I mention Jacob Hollister? He's another bi-week stash. I did. Okay.
Yeah. A good one, too. Especially with the way tight ends
yeah,
are dropping like flies.
Do you think Seattle is just like tight end heaven, or is it something? Are the tight ends that good, or is it just Russell Wilson likes to throw
like
to
Iowa
them
for
and
baseball.
Make gold out of straw?
I think
there.
Russell Wilson very much helps the situation, and the fact that their wide receivers cannot stay healthy also really helps the situation.
Yeah, that probably has a lot to do with it. You're right.
It might be tight end heaven. Could be.
Might be. And now for defenses this week. Three that I particularly, whose matchups I particularly like and are available in more than 50% of Yahoo leagues. You've got Dallas on the road at Detroit. I know you might be hemming and hawing about that after the injuries and the performance against Minnesota last week, but especially with Jeff Driscoll starting, I think that's a nice matchup for Dallas' defense.
I could see something.
And then, then the New York Jets and the Washington Redskins defenses both come highly recommended, mainly because they're playing each other this week. So, or I should say, their teams
are
playing each other.
Those are two not very good football
defenses.
Teams.
Aren't actually playing each other. Well, the Jets showed they could put up points on a bad defense. I'm just not sure that Washington's defense is as bad as the Giants' defense. I think both
I think
those defenses
Washington
are good.
Could be in danger of winning another game and ruining their tank schedule. Much like the Dolphins are doing.
Well, the Jets have to lose this game to get back in the in the race for a top five
pick. I think they're primed and ready.
They definitely have the motivation.
Like you said,
there's
18 teams with a top five pick. That was your prediction early in the season.
Yes.
And I think we're right
on
schedule.
I'm not quite sure how the
math
works out there, but there are. I think
it's okay.
I predict there will be 18
math
teams
math.
With
it's
the top
fine.
Five pick. Yeah.
We're right on your timeline here for top five picks.
We are. Okay. Anything else you want to say about waivers, or shall we just get on to position picks?
The Raiders are out there in a lot of leagues. They're playing the Bengals. Really go pick them up. I know the Raiders defense is actually not a good defense, but anybody against the Bengals is a great defense.
Yeah, I mean, geez, yes, you're
and,
right about
I
that.
I mean, Philip Rivers might still be throwing to Raiders players. He might still be doing it right now.
What I'd really like to see is what Mitchell Trubisky could do against the Bengals defense.
That's must-see TV. Do you know, statistically, that Mitchell Trubisky is actually a better quarterback over the last calendar year than Jared Goff?
Well, that's mainly on the strength
of
what Goff has done this year and what Trubisky did last year. I think he had seven touchdown passes in one game last year, I think. And I think he's
something
had eight all of this season. So
yeah, well, you know what? Might have peaked a little early. But I'm just saying, if you look at the last calendar year, Mitchell Trubisky's better quarterback, and that's a little terrifying.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
Fun fact for you.
Okay. I still think I'm going to pick the Rams over the Bears this week.
I also am, but we'll get there shortly.
Okay. All right. So why don't you lead us off with running backs this week, who you like, who you're top 10 or
my number one, no doubt, probably forever at the top of my running back recommended list is Christian McCaffrey. I don't care if his head, shoulders, knees, and toes are all hurt. I still want to start him, especially against this Atlanta defense. At two, I've got Ezekiel Elliott. The Detroit matchup may be not as ideal as I would like, but I think he'll bounce back. They got embarrassed in pretty handily in primetime last week. Three, Josh Jacobs. Again, not worried about that shoulder injury. Alvin Kamara and Dalvin Cook rounding out my top five. Leonard Fournette of the now Nick Foley and Dynamite Jacksonville Jaguars at six. Nick Chubb, Melvin Gordon, James Conner, and rounding out my top 10 is Mark Ingram.
All right, not bad. We agreed on 6 of 10. So actually our top four. Our top four are the same guys in slightly different order, but so I actually like Ezekiel Elliott most this week. I think he'll be able to hop into the Salvation Army bucket a couple times. Well,
I do
guess they're playing in Detroit, so he won't be able to do that, but maybe he'll do that next week or Thanksgiving.
Jerry might bring it. You never know. He could have it loaded on a plane right now.
That would be something. So Ezekiel Elliott at the top of my list, Christian McCaffrey second, Alvin Kamara third, Josh Jacobs fourth, Mark Ingram fifth, Jordan Howard sixth, Todd Gurley seven, Damian Williams eight, Carlos Hyde nine, and rounding out my top 10, also in your top 10, Darwin Cook. I have a pretty long honorable mention slash hedge list this week, and that would include Sony Michel, Marlon Mack, James Conner, Melvin Gordon, and Tevin Coleman, all just outside my top 10.
Okay, I can actually get on board with most of those. So that's good. That's good. We actually
any
are in
agreement.
Any of those
guys wind up on your avoid list?
Well, the top of my avoid list is Tarik Cohen. I don't think there's a lot of points to be had for Chicago this week. Royce Freeman, Kalen Ballage, Latavius Murray, Nyheim Hines, who I'd love to pick up on the waiver wire, but like maybe I don't really want to start him this week if I don't have to. Chris Thompson, LeSean McCoy, who inexplicably was just not played last week. He was ruled out for seemingly no reason.
They tried to trade him to me last week in a dynasty league. I'm glad I turned that down. Well, it was before
I
he
also
didn't
have,
play, but
yeah, still a good time to turn that one down. And then I've got Frank Gore, Giovanni Bernard, and Peyton Barber running out my avoid list.
Yeah, I was supposed to give the guy a third round pick in exchange for a fourth round pick for the privilege of rostering a guy who didn't play last week.
I think you made the right call there. I feel pretty good that you did.
All right, my avoid list is headlined by Le'Veon Bell, Joe Mixon, Philip Lindsay, Brian Hill, Royce Freeman, David Montgomery, J.D. McKissick, and Kalen Ballage. So some overlap.
A little bit. So Brian Hill, even though knowing he's going to be the guy in Atlanta, you want to avoid. You don't even want to start him. Don't even want to put him in purgatory.
I think Carolina's going to put up enough points against Atlanta's defense that they're not going to be rushing too much, and I just don't have confidence that he's going to be a big part of their passing game, even with Austin Hooper likely out.
So he is Jonas Gray, but of the Falcons. One game wonder.
I don't know if I'd call him a one game wonder, but I just don't think this will be his second game.
Okay. I can live with that. What are you thinking about wide receivers this week?
Juju Smith-Schuster. I know you don't like Thursday night games, but he's at the top of my list this week. DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, Julian Edelman, Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, and Alshon Jeffrey rounding out my top 10. And honorable mentions to Deebo Samuel, Tyrell Williams, Marquise Brown, DJ Moore, and Robert Woods.
Okay. Some of your guys did end up on my avoid list, namely Juju Smith-Schuster. we'll get there.
That would be a mistake, but lay your wisdom on us, and then we can argue.
We shall see. I have Michael Thomas at the top of my start list, Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins, Chris Godwin, and Mike Evans in my top five. I think there are some points to be had in that Tampa Bay-New Orleans game.
Are those two a tandem, or are they separate recommendations?
They're separate entities, not a tandem.
Okay.
Taking them two whole humans.
You go out on a limb a little more than I do.
Well, I might put Juju Smith-Schuster at the top of my avoid list. So I'm a little risky this week. At six, I've got Julian Edelman, Julio Jones, Kenny Galladay, DJ Moore, and Amari Cooper rounding out my top 10.
We agreed on five, and DJ Moore was on my honorable mention list,
yeah.
So I guess I'll give myself half credit there. My avoid list is headlined as it has been several weeks this year by Odell Beckham Jr., Adam Thielen, if he plays, Allen Robinson, Kenny Galladay, who was on your recommended list, is on my avoid list, Courtland Sutton, Terry McLaurin, Jamison Crowder, and Robbie Anderson rounding out my avoid list for this week.
We have some overlap on the avoid list. Like we said, I've got Juju Smith-Schuster at the top of my list. I don't think this is going to be that high scoring of a game. Also, I'm not entirely sure what their offensive strategy is. I'm not entirely sure there is one. I don't like the look of the Steelers right now. I don't particularly love Thursday night games, as we all know. But I'm not interested in Juju this week. I also have Will Fuller, in the spirit of II, Will Fuller V is on my avoid list as well. Zach Pascal, Chris Conley, Philip Dorsett, Larry Fitzgerald, Danny Amendola, Demaryius Thomas, Robbie Anderson, and Deebo Samuel. So Demaryius Thomas, Robbie Anderson, not a tandem, single human.
Yeah, well, it's a little less risky to bunch them up on an avoid list than on a
still alive, so it's harder for Sam Darnold to see them because they are not actually ghosts.
Our cat is going berserkers here. I don't know why. Maybe he's anxious to hear my quarterback recommendations. Carson Wentz is at the top of my list this week, which is a rare occurrence this season. Lamar Jackson, who has been a pretty steady presence at the top of my recommended list for most of the season, is there once again this week. Drew Brees third, Dak Prescott fourth, Derek Carr fifth, Tom Brady sixth, Philip Rivers seventh, Patrick Mahomes eighth, Kyle Allen nine, and Jimmy Garoppolo, who's having a pretty disappointing season, rounding out my top 10 recommended with Mason Rudolph just on the outside looking in.
That's fair. Jimmy Garoppolo definitely on my avoid list. get there in a minute. I have Lamar Jackson at the top of my list. Loving everything about it. I like the matchup. I'm all in on him. Patrick Mahomes is at two on my list here. Dak Prescott, Drew Brees, and Deshaun Watson rounding out the top five. Josh Allen all the way up at six on my list. Jameis Winston, Tom Brady, and Derek Carr, and Matt Ryan rounding out the top 10.
Cat's still going berserk, so I guess it wasn't my quarterback recommendations that he was excited
Maybe he's
about.
got beef with your quarterback recommendations.
That could be.
Your cat's trying to tell you Jimmy Garoppolo is not the real deal.
Could be. Not sure. My avoid list is headlined by Kyler Murray this week, Baker Mayfield, Jameis Winston, Matt Ryan, Sam Darnold, Nick Foles, Sorry Jana, Dwayne Haskins, Mitchell Trubisky, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Ryan Finley, rounding out my avoid list and dishonorable mentions to Brandon Allen and Jeff Driscoll.
That's fair. That's fair. Dishonorable mentions a tough place to be. Dwayne
It's
Haskins
even
also
worse
on my
than being
avoid
in
list.
purgatory.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite
Jeff
make it into
Driscoll's actually,
purgatory.
he's in my purgatory, but Dwayne Haskins decidedly on the avoid list, as well as Kyle Allen, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett, Kyler Murray, Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, Ryan Finley, and Carson Wentz making an appearance on the avoid list this week.
Well, we obviously see that game pretty differently. We'll see. And I'm most certainly not an Eagles fan, as you know. So,
Yes.
tight ends, who do you like?
I like Travis Kelce an awful lot, especially with Patrick Mahomes seemingly still struggling to kind of throw that deep ball with that knee. And being in Mexico City, it's kind of like a Thursday night game to me. There are going to be some weirdness, some variables, but I think Travis Kelce is a good constant here. Hunter Henry at two. So any tight end in that Chargers Kansas City game, go and start. Mark Andrews at three, Darren Waller, George Kittle, as long as he gets on the field, I think he'll be very productive. Zach Ertz, Gerald Everett, Greg Olsen, Jared Cook, and Jason Witten rounding out the top 10.
Ooh,
Possibly the
old
only
time
appearance he's going to make in the top 10, but he's there.
nostalgia pick.
Just a little bit. A little bit.
I've got Zach Ertz at the top of my list, Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, Greg Olsen, Darren Waller, George Kittle, again, if he's healthy enough to play, Jared Cook, Vance McDonald. And now I'll hit you with a couple of tandems because I just can't go a show without doing that. That
No,
Kyle
you can't,
Rudolph,
especially
Irv
when it comes
Smith
to tight ends.
tandem, and the Jordan Akins, Darren Fells combo. And then just on the outside looking in are the Jack Doyle, Eric Ebron combo, Dallas Goedert not comboed, and Ben Watson not comboed.
Not combo number five. Regular people, just humans.
Right, just I'll take a regular Ben Watson, not the combo.
Not the combo. I don't want chips and a drink with it. Just
Yeah, I
one
don't
Ben
want
Watson, please.
exactly. I just want the player. Forget the chips and drink.
Washing my calories. It's fine.
Yeah.
I also have the Jack Doyle Eric Ebron combo on my avoid list.
Oh.
Vance McDonald, OJ Howard. I did a combo. Noah Fant, Dallas Goedert, Mike Gesicki, Darren Fells, Kyle Rudolph. That's it. I didn't even go full 10. I went combos. It's like I channeled you for my tight end avoid list.
And how does Mike Gesicki feel about that?
Probably not great. I would say not
Yeah.
awesome. I want to
Okay.
recommend him, but I just don't actually think it's tough. It's tough out there.
Okay. Noah Fant at the top of my avoid list, OJ Howard, Ryan Griffin, Vernon Davis, TJ Hockenson, Mike Gesicki, Tyler Eifert, and Trey Burton, who probably wishes he were back in Philadelphia getting ready to play the Patriots this week, rounding out my
Yeah.
avoid list at tight end this week. That signing has certainly not worked out well
I
for
really
Burton
thought it
or
would
the
be a
Bears so
very
far.
good fit, but it has not. It's been a bust. I mean, he hasn't been healthy at all, which doesn't help
He
anything,
hasn't been
but
healthy, and his quarterback is a big step down
forgot how to
from
be
what
a
he had in
quarterback.
Philadelphia. So yeah, not a good combination all around there.
I mean, his paycheck probably looks nice though, so he's got that going
it
for him.
It probably does. Just he probably hates going
probably
to work
nicer
every
than mine.
day, but you know. Yeah.
Oh goodness.
So defense wise, I'm going to recommend Minnesota, Washington, Oakland, and the Rams are in my top tier this week. Jets and Dallas just behind that. And then kind of a bigger tier following that, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, New Orleans, Buffalo, Carolina, and San Francisco. So that's 12 instead of 10, but three very distinct tiers among recommended defenses.
Okay. I went with the traditional 10 and 10. I definitely
you
have Minnesota at the top of my list. I know,
yeah.
I know. Real choir chick over here. Just, you know, trying to live my best life amongst the parameters. But I've got the Vikings at the top of my list, the 49ers, the Saints, Steelers, and Rams running out my top five. The Bills, Jets, Patriots, the Raiders, and Panthers running out my top 10. And then my avoid list, since you already did your tiers. I've got the Redskins on my avoid
list. I haven't
list,
done my
as
avoid
well as,
list. I have tiers
oh,
for
I'm
my
sorry.
avoid
I'm
list,
sorry.
Too.
Go ahead. Oh, you've got tiers for the avoid list? Give me your tiers. Give me your tiers.
Okay. New England is in a tier by themselves this week as an avoid defense to avoid.
Wow, okay.
The rest of these, you can all put the names in a hat and draw one out, but I would avoid Philadelphia, Houston, Tampa Bay, Detroit, Atlanta, Cincinnati, Chicago, the Chargers, and Arizona. So anyway, it's one kind of big tier, you know, one tiny tier with one team in it, and then a tier right below that with about 10 teams in it.
Really made quite the pyramid there.
I did.
Again, I just have 10 teams not tiered, but we'll roll with it. I got the Redskins, the Jaguars, the Ravens, Cowboys, Bears, Colts, Browns, Chiefs, Eagles, and Falcons.
There's no tiers in football.
I mean, a lot of tiers for some of my fantasy teams last week.
Yeah.
We had a lot of injuries going
let's...
around. There was one we did not even start a flex player. Just didn't even do it. Not enough healthy bodies. But
wow.
That's neither here nor there. It was bad. It was
right.
A tough one.
Okay, so game predictions. Thursday night game, we start off with Pittsburgh against the resurgent Cleveland Browns. Pittsburgh started off the season very poorly, played better lately. I think that trend is going to continue. I think Pittsburgh, you know, Cleveland had a nice game last week at home, but I think they're going to fall to superior Pittsburgh defense this week. I'll go with the final score, Pittsburgh 27, Cleveland 24.
I've got Pittsburgh winning 24-20, so I think a little less scoring than you do. I just don't feel great about either of these offenses. I just, like I said before, I don't really know what the Steelers are doing. I don't really think they do either. And Cleveland inexplicably has built a team with a quarterback who specializes in short, accurate passing and wide receivers that specialize in being downfield threats. So their whole system doesn't really work. What they should do is give Nick Chubb the ball about 100 times, which means they'll probably throw about 100 times because nothing makes sense in Cleveland. So by default, I think they're losing at home just because they're more dysfunctional than the Steelers.
And as the saying goes, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. So
yeah, and Freddie Kitchens, I don't even know if he knows where the off switch is on the heat right now. Things are not going great for him.
Yeah, I'm not sure who's more likely to get canned at the end of the season between him and Adam Gase. But right now, I think unless he starts doing some winning these last 6 weeks, I think he could well be the first one out the door.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. He is overmatched right now. Things are not good in Cleveland.
One other quick question for you before we get off the topic of Cleveland. Kareem Hunt,
sure.
What did you think of him last week? Would you pick him up? And you know, do you think he's going to contribute anything fantasy-wise the rest of the season? He had a nice showing last week, but what do you think about
he
his
He did have a nice showing last week. I just
season? And do you have any moral qualms about having him on a fantasy team?
I don't have any moral qualms about having him on a fantasy team, which I'm probably in the minority on, but he's a player. He's, you know, I'm not living and dying by how he lives his life. Is he an idiot? Yeah, for sure. But is he a good football player? Absolutely. Again, the Cleveland offense is just so dysfunctional. I would pick him up just because there are not a lot of healthy running back options out there. And I'd love to stash him, but it would have to be the right matchup. I just don't know what we're going to get out of them. What do you think?
Kind of the same, you know, obviously I'm not in favor of hitting women or anything like that, but, you know, I figured, you know,
nobody
he's
is.
Served his punishment from the NFL, and if he's eligible and, you know, I don't have a problem picking him up on a fantasy team, you know, but I don't know. I think he could turn out to be a decent contributor the rest of the season. I mean, obviously, you know, he's not going to do much unless Nick Chubb, you know, goes down with an injury. But, you know, we've seen backfields before, you know, particularly the Saints when they had Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara were both viable fantasy starts week to week. Of course, I'm not comparing the current Browns defense to the Saints, current Browns offense to the Saints offense, you know, of a couple of years ago by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they could both be assets to fantasy teams simultaneously, but we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I've left us short of the barrel here for our game.
That's
pick,
okay.
So I'll pick up the pace a little bit here. Baltimore hosting Houston. This is probably the game I would be most interested, or one of the games. Probably one of the two games or three games I'd be most interested in watching this weekend. Sunday early game, I'll go with Baltimore just because they're at home. I'll expect this to be a shootout, and I'll say final score, Baltimore 31, Houston 28.
I like it. I've got Baltimore winning 34-24. I think they're going to dominate the Texans pretty well, but there's a lot of fantasy points to be had here. I'm all in on Lamar Jackson. I'm fully consumed the Kool-Aid.
Okay, this will probably be the last game before our string of agreeing on games ends, but Minnesota hosting Denver, this seems to me like one of those games that shouldn't be much of a contest unless Minnesota's looking ahead or unless they're looking back to their victory at Dallas. But I'll go with Minnesota at home pretty easily. I'll say Minnesota 27, Denver 17.
I've got Minnesota winning 30-17, so we're thinking right along the same lines. Even with a beat-up Minnesota defense, Denver just does not have enough in the tank. And if there's one thing that Kirk Cousins does well, it's beat teams with bad records. And Denver's coming in with a bad record. So I think Minnesota will be all right, especially at home.
Not on the Brandon Allen bandwagon yet?
Not so much. I'm not on it. I'm just like near it. Not on it. I'm not
You're
off
not
it.
You're not taking shots
I'm
at it. You're just
to
not
it. No.
Along for the ride.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm ambivalent
next
on
up
it.
We've... Next up, we've got Jacksonville at Indianapolis. Here's the game I think we're going to disagree on. Indianapolis, how can you lose at home to Miami? I don't know, but I'm going to pick them against another Florida team this week. I'll say that with Jacoby Brissett back in the saddle, that they'll beat the quarterback who really should be playing for the Colts, and that's Nick Foles. I'll go with Indianapolis 27, Jacksonville 24.
Shocker of all shocks, you were correct in that I am picking Jacksonville to win this game. Jacoby Brissett being back is great. I just don't know who's going to throw the football to. Jacksonville defense is no slouch. They're better than they've looked. Nick Foles coming back will give them a new dynamic. I think it makes them a little more dangerous this week, and I think they're going to steal one in Indy. They're going to win 24-20.
All right. Glad that I've learned my lesson after 10 years that I can at least know when the disappointment is coming. But anyway.
I'm predictable in my unpredictability.
Exactly. So next up, we have a game which I'm pretty sure we're going to agree on, and that's New Orleans on the road at Tampa Bay. how can they lose at home against Atlanta? I think they're going to be, too good a team to, come out flat 2 weeks in a row. I think New Orleans bounces back in a big way this week. The defense will contain Jameis Winston and Mike Evans. I'll go New Orleans 31, Tampa Bay 24.
I've got New Orleans 30, Tampa Bay 24, so I think we're totally on the same page. Even watching that New Orleans-Atlanta game last week, I still am not entirely sure how they came out and were that bad. But this week, they certainly bounced back.
Okay. Next, the game that everybody, this is must-not-watch TV, or as other people would refer to it in
tickets
Washington.
Tickets are starting at $10 for this
20,
game. You can be at this game in person for a mere $10.
Yeah, unlike the Eagles-Patriots game where the least expensive seat is $195 right now, but this is the Jameson Crowder homecoming game, and I don't think either team is going to acquit itself too well, but because somebody has to, come out with a victory, unless Donovan McNabb is doing the predicting.
Could be a tie.
I'm going to go
could show up.
I'm going to go, and he might, since he did play for Washington for a bit, but I'm going to go for Washington just because they're at home and because I'm mad at the Jets for beating the Giants last week, but I'm going to go with Washington 20 over the Jets 17.
I'm taking Washington to win 28-21 over the Jets this week. I think the only way to make Redskins fans even angrier and more unhappy is for them to actually win a game, because now they're all in on tanking and getting a great draft pick, and their team's going to come out and ruin that and ruin all the good in their world by actually winning a football game. So that's how DC works. I've got them winning 28-21.
All right. Next up, we've got your Cowboys on the road at Detroit. I know you're worried about this. I'm not. Dallas, again, is going to bounce back. Like New Orleans, from a home loss, I think they're going to win this convincingly. I'll say Dallas 31, Detroit 20.
I would love
no
your score and your
Jeff
view
Driscoll.
Of this to go well. I respect Jeff Driscoll a little bit more, and I'm a little more worried about the Dallas defense. I don't know, but I've got Dallas winning. I am picking them to win, although I would not be shocked to see them lose this game. I would be furious, but I wouldn't be surprised. I have them winning 27-21.
Okay, next up we've got Buffalo against the suddenly resurgent Miami Dolphins, who are probably
also
getting
their fan base
mad. It's
all the magic in his beard. It's magic.
Yeah, it's magic is costing them dearly in the quarterback lottery next year. Although it's weird. There doesn't seem to be that one consensus college quarterback. I mean, at the beginning of the season, people were talking about Justin Herbert and Tua Tagovailoa, but several others have crept into the mix. I like the Justin Fields, the Ohio State kid, Jalen Hurts, the Oklahoma quarterback. I think there are a lot of good ones out there. Actually, I'm not sure if Justin Fields is eligible for the draft or not, but the others are. But anyway, we'll see. But Miami's doing its part to give themselves not as good a pick as they would have had several weeks ago. I think they're going to get back on the right track from their perspective this week. I think Buffalo, they played Miami played them tough the first time. I think that'll be even more the case at home this week, but I'm going to go with Buffalo to pull this out by field goal. I'll go with the Josh Allen's 27 over the Ryan Fitzmagic's 24.
I'm taking Buffalo to bounce back and look a little better. Last week's game was ugly, and Miami can't win forever. I think this Buffalo defense is going to slow them down enough. I have the Bills winning 20-17. Close game, a watchable game, but not a lot.
Well, we both think it'll be close. I guess we disagree on how much offense there'll be, but we'll see. Next up, the Christian McCaffrey's, who I take it is your favorite fantasy player this season. Carolina hosting the almighty Atlanta Falcons. I think Carolina will prevail at home. I think it'll be a close game. I think Atlanta will be able to muster some offense, but not thanks to Brian Hill. But I'm going to go with a final score of Carolina 31, Atlanta 24.
I am sticking true to my proclamation several weeks ago that I was not picking the Falcons to win another game this season. I'm going to stay true to that. I'm taking the Christian McCaffreys and pretty much just Christian McCaffrey to score 27 points and beat the Falcons
27-23. Okay. So you think it'll be even closer than I do? That's interesting. So now for the late games. I know you're not a believer in San Francisco. You picked against them last week, and you were right. I was wrong. But this week they're back at home, short week, hosting an Arizona team that's been somewhat up and down. I'm not impressed. San Francisco will prevail in this game on the strength of their defense. I think they'll get back on the winning track. I'll go with San Francisco 30, Arizona 24. If San Francisco loses this game, then all of a sudden all the naysayers are going to come out of the woodwork and people will be handing the division to Seattle already and talking about
how the
Rams
thing. They lose this game.
The
division gets
playoffs,
very interesting. Very interesting. I actually do think San Francisco loses this game. I think they have a lot of key injuries right now. I think Jimmy Garoppolo's got to stop turning the football over. I think Arizona's going to come in and steal one. Like you said, it's a short week. There was a lot of adrenaline. There was a lot of energy in the last game. Came up a little short, and I think this is going to be a bit of a letdown, and they're going to lose 27-24. Go Cardinals.
All right.
The Arizona run
next
game.
Up.
That's what's going to be the difference.
All right. We'll see. next up, we've got Oakland across the bay. Well, actually, not across the bay. San Francisco plays in Santa Clara now, but it's a ways down the road. But same idea. They're both hosting late games on Sunday. I wonder if you could be at both games for like a half. That might work. Depending
on
whether because one, I forget which conference it is. It starts at 4:05 and which starts at 4:25. But that could work. I guess it's the
San Francisco's
the
earlier
starts
one.
At 4:05. So the San Francisco's the earlier one. I would have thought Oakland would be the earlier one, but
inexplicably San Fran is.
Okay. So anyway, I suppose it might be possible to watch most of a half of the both games, but I don't know if anybody will do that. But anyway, actually attended in person is what I meant. Cincinnati on the road at Oakland, like everybody else, I think Oakland's going to just beat up on Cincinnati. I wasn't too impressed by Oakland early in the season. I thought the whole John Gruden thing was a bunch of hot air, but turns out they have some good young players, and there's Josh Jacobs, probably your rookie of the year winner, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I think they're just a much better team than Cincinnati. So I'll go Oakland 31, Cincinnati 17.
Cincinnati's terrible. Oakland, not great statistically, but they showed up last week. I think they'll have another big week this week at home. I have them winning 34-19. A lot of field goals for Cincinnati.
Go Chuckies.
Yeah, right. The Chuckies. Spider 2Y banana all day.
Next up, we've got rematch of Super Bowl 51, the Eagles hosting the Patriots. And I don't know. The Patriots have obviously been the better team this season. The Eagles are just up and down and in danger of not making the playoffs. But I think they're going to rally. And just to annoy people, I'm going to pick a repeat of the Super Bowl final score. I'm going to go with the Eagles 41 and Patriots 33.
Okay, I'm definitely taking the Patriots to win this game. If you don't think Bill Belichick has been plotting this revenge since pretty much 10 minutes after Super Bowl ended, you're crazy. I think New England is a better overall offense. Both defenses are a little suspect. Until Philadelphia really comes out and shows me that they can look consistent from one week to another, I can't get on board against the Patriots. I think the Patriots win 30-24. They keep it close, but I think New England's a better team.
Okay. Next up, we've got the Sunday night game, which it's too bad they couldn't flex this one, but Chicago on the road against the Rams. I think the Rams will destroy them. They'll go Rams 31, Chicago 17.
I've got the Rams winning 20-16. I don't know what the heck's going on in LA. When you put Blake Bortles in and you let Johnny Hecker throw passes, like how much do you have to not believe in Jared Goff to like run this crazy stuff? I don't know what they're doing. I think that Chicago's defense keeps them in it, and it's a much closer game than maybe people expect.
Well, certainly than I expect. All right, and then rounding out the schedule, we have what should be an entertaining game. Two potentially explosive offenses, although I don't know what the heck is up with Phillip Rivers throwing motion right now. But
I don't know.
Terrible.
Maybe he saw ghosts, too.
But
he was bad.
It looks like he's trying
he
to shot
put the
ball out
there. He can't be that bad this week. He's
got
to actually be better.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't say that necessarily. But anyway, as you mentioned before, this game being played in Mexico City. So I'm going to say that Kansas City kicks a 90-yard field goal in the thin air on the last play of the game and wins this. I'll go
he's
Kansas
okay.
City 31, Chargers 28. That would be a record
Patrick
by about
Mahomes,
26
Patrick
yards.
Mahomes thinks he can throw the ball 100 yards in the elevation. I would like to see that happen. I don't think it will, but I would like
Maybe
to see it happen.
Were.
Yeah.
Healthy,
but on the
not.
Fact that Phillip Rivers was absolutely terrible, and I think he will be better, but I don't necessarily think he's going to be better than Andy Reid is at coaching against teams in this division, I'm taking Kansas City to win 37-31. Close game, not Phillip Rivers night. And just real quick before we sign off for the week, a couple of daily fantasy picks for you. Quarterback Kyle Allen, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Ryan Finley. Again, we're looking for value here so you can put those studs in your lineup and win some cash. At running back, Josh Jacobs, Brian Hill, even without the Falcons necessarily winning a game, I think there are points to be had, especially at the price, and Darius Geis. At wide receiver, Tre'Quan Smith, Marquise Brown, and Jamison Crowder. At tight end, O.J. Howard and Mike Gesicki. I finally recommended him somewhere. And defense, Miami and New Orleans are great picks there. Thank you for hanging with us a little extra this week. We got off on some tangents as we like to do, but we will be back with you next week on Wednesday night, as always, from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. And, of course, you can find us all week long all over social media. We're happy to answer your lineup questions, talk sports with you in general, whatever you want to do, we're around. We're on Facebook at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page, on Twitter at the number 4, THN Inches Show, at JKIM16 and Fantasy_Sherpa. Thank you so much for hanging with us. Guys, we'll be back next week with all the goods to help you win in your Week 12 matchups. So good luck this week, unless, of course, you're playing us.